Montgomery Clift was unforgettable, an extreme close-up in glorious black and white in 1951.
I love you. I've loved you since the first moment I saw you.
The film was a place in the sun.
I guess maybe I even loved you before I saw you.
Clift played George Eastman, a young man climbing up from his background of extreme poverty. Opposite him was Elizabeth Taylor at her most radiant, playing a socialite with everything he desires.
I love you too. It scares me.
Montgomery Clift and Elizabeth Taylor are professing their love to each other.
Actor Craig Chester.
I can only tell you all.
She holds his face.
Tell Mama.
And she says, tell Mama all.
Tell Mama all.
And he had a quality that made you want to go in and kind of save him. Monty broke the mold that way.
Clift had started as a stage actor at age 12 and later became a protege of acting guru Bobby Lewis, one of the founders of the Actors Studio. It was in response to Clift's physical beauty and stage presence that Hollywood called, and he made two films, both released in 1948, Red River, a Howard Hawks Western, and The Search, a kind of semi-documentary story of European children, camp victims, displaced after World War II. Clift played an American GI who takes a little Czech boy under his wing.
My name is Steve. Your name is?
Jim.
Jim. His name? Abraham Lincoln.
Abraham Lincoln.
I mean, he's so wonderful in it.
Mayor?
It's the most... It's so improvisational and so spontaneous.
Patricia Bosworth is author of Montgomery Clift, a biography.
His persona, it was so unique, so original for that time. I don't think audiences had ever seen anyone quite like him before.
Co-starring with her is Montgomery Clift, whose phenomenal rise to stardom in Red River has made him the most sought-after young actor on the screen.
And audiences were ready. Montgomery Clift was an instant movie star.
As the dashing young fortune hunter who makes love to the heiress.
Craig Chester says there was a before Monty Clift and an after.
Before Monty, most movie stars were kind of just really well-intentioned hams in a way. People were putting on a show.
It was a good show, of course. Bogart.
That's your stinking game, is it? Informing. I knew you was an informer. I knew it all the time.
Gable.
And at midnight tonight, I charged Captain Jenks with desertion in the face of the enemy.
Gary Cooper.
You must learn not to be afraid of the world, not to take any notice of it. I must let you learn it. When you have, you'll come back to me.
But there was something different about the interior, questioning atmosphere of Clift's work.
I stopped by because Miss Stover told me yesterday she'd be at home this morning. Is she really out?
Oh, yes.
Clift played fortune hunter Morris Townsend in William Wyler's The Heiress, based on the Henry James novel Washington Square.
Catherine, it was because I loved you that I disappeared that night.
He embodied the handsome suitor of irrepressible ardor and questionable integrity.
I chose your welfare rather than my own. Can you think of it that way?
I will try.
And later, Clift continued to add vulnerability and ambiguity to his portrayals of conflicted characters.
Sir, Private Robert E. Lee Pruitt, reporting to the company commander as ordered.
As in From Here to Eternity.
I was first bugler for 2 years. The top kick had a friend who transferred in from another outfit. The next day, he was made first bugler over me. I was a better bugler.
And you asked out on account of that?
Of course, he was acting those parts, but he was also genuinely vulnerable and ambivalent and conflicted in his life.
He was definitely androgynous, bisexual, homosexual.
He was a handsome heterosexual on screen and a conflicted gay man off. A serious actor studio performer on one hand and a Hollywood star on the other. The conflicts within Monty Clift surfaced on screen, and they were seductive and really quite spellbinding. And right from the start, some members of the Hollywood old guard weren't so happy about it. John Wayne laughed at Monty Clift when they had to play a fight scene together.
You're soft. Won't anything make a man out of you?
And you know, Wayne didn't really want to work with him at all. It certainly came out later that he even called him a fag.
Yellow belly. Liver.
He just, can he do it? Can he beat me up? Can we have this fight? He was very skeptical about Montgomery Clift. And I think Clift knew that, too.
But there were also other actors, a new breed, coming up. People like Marlon Brando and James Dean. They were kids who got Clift's message loud and clear.
You won't go, will you?
Where would I go?
So stardom came fast and furious until the script changed and tragedy famously struck. Clift and Elizabeth Taylor were working on the Civil War epic Raintree County in 1956. The two had been good friends since A Place in the Sun.
They thought of each other as brother and sister in a way because they were so beautiful. At their most beautiful, which was when they were making A Place in the Sun, they used to stand in front of a mirror and just look at each other, look at their reflections.
Leaving Taylor's house one night, Clift's car crashed into a telephone pole. His face, and especially his jaw, were wrecked, and one side of his face had to be surgically reconstructed.
I'm taking you home with me.
Clift struggled to fulfill the demands of his contract.
Why?
Which were that he complete Raintree County, and he did finish it, after a fashion.
I mean, he was in such pain. He was very, very medicated.
Generations of moviegoers have cringed to see the before and after scenes in Raintree County, including film critic Michael Joshua Rowan.
I was surprised to see his face hadn't changed, really, but you can see that he was affected by it emotionally. I mean, just his whole demeanor changes. He's often awkward and slump-shouldered, and it's very tragic to watch.
Baker's helper. I'm a Baker's helper.
Clift did work again, and with some distinction, in films like Lonely Hearts, Wild River, The Misfits, Judgment at Nuremberg.
They had already made up. When I walked into the court, they had made up their minds. They had made up their minds!
You just see how tormented he was, I think. Tormented, you know, personally tormented.
And that, of course, is what Monte Clift so memorably did. He somehow found a way into his characters through his deepest torments and conflicts. And that was true right to the end, right until his early death at age 46. That's how this master of uncertainty simply redefined the image of the on-screen male. Nothing ambiguous about that. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishkin.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.